Savior.
Times like this.
Father, we thank you for that anchor to our soul, which is Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can be sure that our anchor holds in difficult times and in times of trial and times of uncertainty. We can certainly trust in you. And we know that you are in control. We thank you, Father, for the confidence that we can have because you are a faithful God. You've promised to be faithful, not to leave us nor forsake us. We don't need to fear what man will do unto us. And certainly, as we look around, we see man doing much. And much that would be harmful and hurtful. And yet, Father, we need not fear. We just are grateful this evening for our time together to come aside for this hour and just be reminded of your love, your grace, to be reminded of your faithfulness. Pray, Father, that you would use this time in our lives to draw us closer to you. We thank you for the teens that are meeting even at this time. We pray that you'd give them a great time together tonight as well. May they be drawn closer to yourself. May they just rejoice in the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ. Those that aren't saved in the teen group, Father, we continue always to pray for them. And asking you to bring them to a point of conviction, to bring them to a point of recognition that they need a Savior, that they need an anchor in times like these. We thank you again, Father, for the opportunity to be together tonight. We thank you for the missions trip that Jordan was able to be on, and as we hear from him this evening, I pray that we'd be able to rejoice in what you did through that mission trip. And I would ask, Father, that you would continue to be with those to whom he ministered. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will be hearing shortly from Jordan, just an update on his mission trip. But before we do, we'll spend some time in prayer. So let's go to prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for the mighty God that we serve, for the mighty God that sent his Son so that we may live, so that we may have everlasting life, that we may have the same thoughts that your Son would have and you, the Father, as we know that for us that have accepted you as Savior, we're already in heaven. We're already eternally there. These bodies, yeah, our flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. The spirit is the same spirit that your Son has, the same spirit of you that we can have strength in you, Lord. We can have that comfort as we go throughout trials, the tribulations in our lives that all of us have. We just want to give you thanks, Lord. We do think of those teens that are meeting tonight, Lord, those that are saved, those that will be going back to school in just a few weeks, Lord, as they have had their afterglows this summer, Lord, may they take those opportunities to be able to share with the other students as they go back to school in this fall, as they could maybe have other students that come to know you, Lord. That's our prayer. That's why we reach out. We want them to have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that so their lives can be filled with love and with security, knowing that they will be with you. The struggles that these teens that they go through, Lord, is just far more than as I could ever imagine as a young teen. They're bombarded with things that we didn't even think of as I was growing up, Lord, as a young teenager. But yet, Lord, they're your children. They have all been born of you, by you. We are to love them. We are to reach out to them. We are to show them the love. We don't save them, but we can certainly give them the love, the caring and guidance and the mentorship that they can come to know you, Lord. We do think of our nation. We think of our president. We think of our leaders. We know, Lord, that you have your hand upon them. There's nothing that's happened in this nation or any nation in the world that has surprised you. You're there through all of it. You've already known. You know what's going to happen the next moment. And yet, Lord, you tell us to pray. You tell us to come before you with our joy, with our love, with our passion. And yet, Lord, that when we are weak, we come before you. When we cry, when we are angry, when we are in sorrow, when we are lost and have no idea what we should do as a Christian, many times, Lord, we are lost in what to do. That's why, Lord, it's so important that we have a mentor, that we have other Christian friends around us. For when we are weak, they can be strong. And when they are weak, we can be strong amongst them. I thank you, Lord, for this Wednesday night service in the middle of the week, that we can come before you, that we can praise you. Many nations, it's illegal. They would be beaten or even killed in some nations around the world as we speak tonight, Lord. Civil wars going on in many nations. The love of evil is in so many people's hearts. But yet, Lord, you have put us here. You have given us that joy, that you have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us that love that we can look at others and we can know that you created them. And Lord, help us to remember that as we go throughout our days, that we go throughout our weeks, maybe with family members that we haven't gotten along with for years. Lord, help us to know that those individuals, they are your children, and we were lost. I was lost, but yet, Lord, you chose to save me. Same thing can happen with those that we think are just beyond hope. Help us not to get at that point, Lord, where we stop praying for those individuals, especially knowing that they have not necessarily turned their lives around or they haven't made any changes, but yet, Lord, they're not worshiping Satan. They're not going out and recruiting other people towards you, against you. Lord, they're human beings. They're sinful, lost people, just like I was, Lord, at one time. It's only because of your grace, your mercy upon us, Lord, that we can stand before you and give thanks. We do pray for those family members that may be ill, maybe sick, maybe haven't been out for a long time, or shut-ins, Lord. Maybe they're listening tonight. We think of all of you. We think of those that are in need, those that are maybe in the hospital. My prayer is that you're comforted knowing that you have other people, you have other friends, you have people that are praying for you right at this moment. And Lord, we just want to give you thanks this evening. We look forward to hearing of Jordan's mission trip. Thankful he got home safely. And again, Lord, we just thank you for the leadership within this church, the Sunday school teachers, the prayer warriors, the ladies, the trustees, the deacons. We just give thanks to you, Lord, for the leadership that we have with our pastors. And be with Mike and Eddie, started this week. Please comfort Eddie in getting acquainted. He already knows us, Lord. What a pleasure to have him here with us, and his three little girls and his wife. And we just give thanks to you, Lord. Help us to always make them comfortable and be a part of our family, as we know they will be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we come before you and we want to recognize who you are. We want to take this time just to be with you and to communicate with you and to just pour our hearts out. Oftentimes, it seems that we only pray during the hard times, and when the good times come, we don't pray, or we don't have that same passion and zeal that we had during the hard times, and maybe we don't pray as earnestly. And I just want to acknowledge tonight, as maybe we're in a bit of a good time, we just want to come before you and just pour our hearts out to you. I was thinking 2 years ago, we were just coming out of the pandemic, and when we would pray earnestly, we would pray diligently, we'd pray frequently. And the joy of fellowshipping on Sundays and worshiping together, singing together, was sweet. And that seems to have maybe fallen away. We don't have that same passion. We don't have that same joy. So I just pray that as we come before you tonight and we have the privilege of speaking with you and sharing our concerns, we just enjoy that time. And as we think about this coming Sunday and the privilege we have to meet together and to sing together and to study together and fellowship together, we look forward to that time. And certainly, as we can think around the world, not all churches, not all countries can say that they have that privilege of meeting together and singing and fellowshipping and praying together. So we thank you for that. I do want to praise you for bringing Eddie to our church, and I just praise you that things are moving forward, first of all with his ministry, but also with the sale of his home. Certainly that has been an answer to prayer as you've been with us and guiding us through the search for a candidate, and then certainly as we called him to be our assistant pastor, you have been with us in that as well. I do want to pray for the schools as we look forward to school starting again here in just a couple of weeks. I just want to pray for the teachers and the students at the outset of their school year that it would just be a good year for them. I think especially of our teens, but also all of the young people in this church as they are looking forward to school starting again. And we know that there will be challenges that they will face. We know that there will be temptations and peer pressures and obstacles that they will face. And we just pray that you would be with each of those students. Give them the willpower and the heart to overcome many of those challenges. I pray that they would be a witness and a testimony to you in their schools and in their classrooms with their friends. I pray that it would be a great year for them. I pray that it would be a great year in this community as we seek a revival, as we seek to proclaim your name. I pray that our students would be a part of that. I also pray for our missionaries across the world. Many of them are working in very difficult circumstances, maybe even dangerous circumstances, and I pray for them. Here in America, things are maybe a little easier. We have the freedom, we have the resources, we have the things that we need. And that's not the case for some of our missionaries. And I just pray for them. I pray that you would encourage them in the challenges that they have. I pray that you would continue to bring fruit to their ministry. I pray that they would feel our prayers for their success, their blessing, their encouragement, their safety. I pray that you would be with them, that you would continue to draw them closer to you, fill them up so that they can share your love and your grace to those that they minister to. Thank you for all that you have done. I pray that we would continue to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Teens are joining us tonight, so come on in, teens. Find a seat. They were here when Jordan explained what he was going to be doing, and so they're going to come back and hear what he did while he was over in Slovakia. Good group of you tonight. Good to have Steve and Debbie Douglas. Speaking of missions, Steve and Debbie are here tonight. They'll be around in the area for a couple of weeks and then heading back towards Florida. But good to have them with us. Steve, Debbie, great to have you. All right. Jordan, come on up. Tell us what God did.
I will do my best. Okay. First, I would just like to say thank you to you guys, to this church. We're all called to either go or to send, and because you guys sent me so graciously, I was able to go. So I thank you for your kindness and your generosity, not only as far as donations, but also prayers. If you sent an encouraging word or even told me that you're praying for me, I'm confident that those prayers are answered while I was overseas, and we definitely needed them, as you'll see. Okay, so this is a trip that we went on. It happened. And now I'm back, and I'm thankful to be back. And I'm just praying that hopefully the words I say make sense to you, and that I'm able to just kind of speak to what God has done through this trip in my life and for my faith, but also for your encouragement as well. My prayer was that, you know, the work that we did over the course of those 2 weeks wouldn't stop there, but that if it could encourage somebody to go as well or to send others, that would be done. Okay, so I think I'm ready for the next slide. Potentially, yeah. Okay, so I would say that my biggest takeaway about this whole trip was God's timing. God has interesting timing, considering that God isn't confined by time. He doesn't go by our timeline or really any timeline. So it was a really interesting time to go. Stola has been doing this English camp for about as long as I've been alive, but we haven't been doing it for 2 years because of the pandemic. So it was really kind of up in the air all the way up to the last minute whether or not we were actually still going to go. Esther, the woman who runs the camp, was still kind of trying to decide on dates 2 weeks before we left, which we were just kind of like, that's not ideal. So it was a really interesting time, and there were a lot of factors that kind of played into, even on our end, whether or not we would go. A lot of us were kind of feeling some uncertainties because Slovakia, as you know, borders Ukraine, and the war is at their doorstep right now, pretty much. It's just across from them. So because of the way, you know, our coordinator was kind of nervous, given kind of the history, that recent history about kind of how the U.S. has taken care of, like, leaving citizens behind in the case of war, as seen with kind of like Afghanistan. So we were a little bit nervous about that. We were still nervous about COVID a little bit and how things are playing out overseas, because it was is different experience for the Slovaks. They had a really rough time with the pandemic, as their healthcare system isn't, it's not as, I won't say modernized, but it's not as up-to-date or as specialized as the American healthcare system, and they had harsher restrictions. We were talking with some of the missionaries over there, Jason and Adele Rice, and they were saying that, you know, only one person could go out to do grocery shopping at a time, and they only had like a certain amount of time to do it. So they're coming off of that, and really just the sense of isolation is still very much felt over there. So there are a couple of different factors that were playing out, and so just kind of the weird timing of the trip, as well as some of you might be aware of the current travel craziness going over in Europe right now. We had a total of 8 flights this trip. 3 of them were canceled while we were on the trip. So there was a lot of fast thinking involved. And again, I'm very confident that prayers were answered because we made it back on time. So thank you for those prayers. They were definitely felt as we were kind of just wandering around the airports, kind of wondering, you know, hey, what country will we be in tomorrow or the next 5 hours? So that was interesting. That's Grace Bible Church. Speaking of timing, I'm a morning person, but I'm not a 5:30 in the morning kind of person. That's the time that we left. And then that is just a little picture of the airport bandits once we got to Dulles. So I think we're ready for the next slide. So the team might be a little bit hard to see in the bottom left corner. That's the team that we sent from Grace Bible Church. So Grace Bible Church, again, is located in my hometown, Altoona. We sent, there are 5 of us that went. So we have, from the bottom left, Adrian Crater, her mom, Shannon Crater, me, Michael Stewart, who is our worship leader, and then we had Jonah Salyards, who is involved in our Compassing career group. Up in the top right, that is the staff. So that's not only us, but it also includes the Rices, as well as the translators who help run the camp and some of the other staff that would cook or fulfill various responsibilities and roles while we're on the trip. Back to God's timing. They hadn't had the camp for 2 years, so a lot of time spent not really being able to keep those relationships going. The pandemic really kind of threw in a sense of discontinuity. And so something that we were all kind of worried about was, is it going to be awkward when we go back over there? We haven't seen these people for 2 years. They've just suffered like immense isolation as we all have. And we have to teach English with these people who haven't really been able or had the opportunity to speak English for 2 years. I mean, they can speak English, but once we got over there, it was kind of like a marked difference from before. Some of their skills had kind of slid as far as English goes. So we were worried about that. But I think another huge answer to prayer was that it had almost felt like no time had passed. We were able to pick right back up where we left off, and it was a huge blessing to reconnect with them. It's actually been 5 years since I last went, and they made me feel like I was right back at home, and we were able to kind of pick up on old inside jokes, like toenails, which you'll have to ask me about that later. Apparently, it's my nickname over there. So, yeah. So we were able to pick right back up where we left off. The only way we didn't was that we had a whole group of new students because they hadn't had the camp for 2 years, so we had some new kids from the surrounding villages and in Stola. So I think we're ready for the next slide. So back to those relationships. Up here we kind of see, this is our team put together. So that's Grace Bible, the Rices, and then the translators. Something that we did in order to keep kind of like the spirit of like fellowship going was we had really long days with the translators. So it didn't stop at camp where we would just kind of like stop working with them. But we actually had the opportunity to have a house in the village this year, which was a huge blessing because it allowed for a huge sense of community and fellowship. And just being able to get to know them a bit deeper, it's really a comfort to know the people that you're spreading the gospel with. To have familiarity in a strange land where you don't speak the language, you don't know a whole lot about the culture, you have an idea of what it's like, but you can't really speak from a place of experience. So it was really comforting to be able to really be able to call them friends and not just translators, but to just come alongside them with confidence. So that was a huge blessing. Probably my favorite story of being with the translators, and I don't know that you guys want to try this in youth group anytime soon, but my favorite game that I played with them was, I don't know what to call it in English, but it's basically where you slap each other, you get in a ring and you pretty much slap each other. It was a good time. So basically, I'll demonstrate it real quick. So you get in the middle of a circle. There's a bunch of people around you. There's one person in a circle. You walk around like this, and people take turns slapping your hand like really hard, and then you have to like turn around and guess who it was. It was a simpleton game, but it was really fun. So go ahead, try it out. It would be really fun. So that was just one of the highlights, I think, for the trip of getting to know them. So I think we're ready for the next one. So just kind of going back, once we got to Slovakia, there was a 13-hour flight from Dulles to Dubai, 6-hour layover in Dubai, then we had a 5-hour flight to Budapest. By that time, it was probably midnight, and none of us had really slept at all. So the next day, we spent most of the day in Budapest and then drove up to Stola. Once we got there, we got to worship with the local congregation in Poprad. Poprad Baptist, there's a collection of Baptist churches in the area. Poprad is pretty much like the head of those churches, so once a month they will meet in one of the local village churches, they'll cycle. We were able to worship with them that morning and pretty much pray with the believers there for the ministry of the camp. I hope that you guys will all be able to experience this at some point, being able to worship in a different language, because it's just such a beautiful picture of what heaven's going to be. It just reminds me that every tribe, nation, and tongue will be there. So my prayer is that you'll be able to experience that. It's amazing. Okay, next slide. So the format of the camp was we would start out in the morning. Once after registration would close, kids would get there and we would worship. For the past 5 weeks, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High has been stuck in my head. We sing that every single day, in English and in Slovak. I did not try it in Slovak because I probably would have shouted some obscenity, so I just stayed away from Slovak and let the translators do the talking and the singing. I did play the ukulele, so for my ukulele students, you can use that to glorify God. Say no. So we worshiped with them. We would begin with lessons. There were memory verses assigned each day. You would get tickets. That was pretty much a reward system. Tickets for saying them in Slovak and 2 tickets for saying them in English, or saying them in English. So that was one of the ways that we were able to incorporate the gospel through the camp. We also had skits and lessons that we would use. The theme for the camp was idioms. So each year, it's an English camp, but it's pretty much a VBS. So we use English lessons as a vehicle for spreading the gospel. That was the main focus of the camp. So every year we do themes. This year was idioms in the Bible, which is pretty interesting. It's really interesting. You don't really realize how many idioms you use until you're like tasked with thinking about it. So on our shirt, the verse is, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. And so a lot of times idioms don't really translate well between languages. Like raiding cats and dogs, the Slovaks think that's hilarious because why would that happen? So we got to dive into that, and we really pretty much went through each day. The lesson was focused on an idiom from the Bible. So, for instance, one of the days was, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So that was just kind of like the baseline. We each had, each of the team members had a class that they were assigned. I was assigned 11-year-olds. That was interesting. They're a fun time, and I can't wait to tell you more about them pretty soon. You'll see them pop up. They were a good group of kids. But each teacher had assigned a class, and they pretty much did their own thing, trying to incorporate the gospel into teaching English. Which this year, again, because of timing, we pretty much found out we were set on going on the trip about 2.5-3 weeks before we actually made it to Stola. So usually we have the team set, plans made back in January, and we have time in between January and June to kind of focus in on our lesson plans and just targeting certain areas of ministry over at the camp. But it was pretty much, you know, last minute we gotta kind of hustle as far as lessons go. Okay, I think you're ready for the next slide. Oh, and one more thing about the slide that was previous. We also had illustrations, and they call them icebreakers. Not really icebreakers; they're more games. We try to use the games to illustrate biblical truths. So one of the days we went over the Tower of Babel. As our story, and to illustrate misordered priorities, what we did was we kind of had, basically, the goal was to show that when we don't prioritize God and put Him first, life gets messy. So we basically, previous slide, we had them make PB&J sandwiches just using their hands. So that was what you saw when they had their hands in peanut butter and jelly. They don't do that normally. okay. So other things that they had in the camp after lessons, they had pretty much 4 things that they could do. They had sports, they had crafts, which you don't see a picture up there of. They had hand chimes, which I was in charge of, as well as what else? English extra. English extra is pretty interesting. So one of the pictures that I originally had in here was the favorite thing that Slovak kids like doing whenever we come to camp is tasting American candy. So we kind of like take that for granted. Like, you don't have access to like Reese's over there. One of the pictures was one of my kids, he had a Mallow cup for the first time. And so basically their task was trying to describe in English like what it's like. Some of their responses would shock you and maybe offend you. They're big fans of Sour Patch Kids. So, Sour Patch Kids and wafers also. So like Nutty Buddies or whatever they're called. They like wafers for some reason. Okay, next slide. So these were my kids. Again, interesting bunch. They were 11-year-olds. I had, I think, 7 originally, but really only 6 showed up. One of them got sick. His name was Voita, so he's not in this picture. But from left to right, there's me. The next girl is one of my translators, Tita. She was actually a student the last time I was there, and she has a pretty interesting testimony. So whenever I was there last time, she was a student. She was probably about 14, I think. And her teacher over there was Adrian and her sister, Adrian and her friend Megan. Tita, at the time, we were just talking about how teens have, you know, problems that we can't even think, like, can't even comprehend. Horrible home life. There's a very kind of dark culture surrounding alcohol over there, so that pretty much tore up her family, and she was saying at the time that she couldn't even begin to comprehend or want to even think about God. Something that excited her, though, was being able to communicate with Adrian and Megan, her teachers, and so what she did was she just really focused on how she could communicate with them, and that drove her to study more, and Adrian and Megan were able to encourage her with the gospel, and so she ended up coming to faith in Christ as a result of the ministry. So that was really encouraging, and encouraging to me because it shows me that even though we was only there for 5 days, the work doesn't stop there. The praying doesn't stop there. It keeps going until you see fruit, and she's just a testament to that. So we're thankful to have her. Next one is Adam. The next girl in the middle, her name is Emma. The next girl, her name is Chair. It's not actually Chair, it's Sophia, but I don't know. It helps me to remember names if I can, like, assign nicknames. Sometimes they don't make sense. But I was like, Sophia kind of sounds like sofa, and sofa's a furniture, so I could call you, like, Chair. So I called her Chair. The next guy is Benny. He is one of our translators. Next, we have Veronica, and then on the end is Jacob. In the middle, on the floor, is a big ham. His name is Richard, but I would call him Ricardo. So you would just hear me randomly singing that around camp. And he was just always, I don't know what he's just interesting character, but anytime I would say, he would just be like, Ricardo. So that was my group. Okay, I think you're ready for the next slide. So we were in the library. Usually we have the church to ourselves in the village. But because of the war, they were actually housing Ukrainian refugees. So we didn't really have a whole lot of access to the church. So the town graciously let us use the village town center town hall. So we were in the library. Pretty much the focus that I wanted to cover with them, something that can kind of trip up non-native English speakers are homophones. Does anybody know what a homophone is? Anybody want to volunteer? Elena? You raised your hand. Anyway, so a homophone is a word that sounds the same but it's spelled differently and has a different meaning. So we covered those. And pretty much my tie-in with the gospel there was that a lot of times the world will tell us something is another thing, but it's really not. So for instance, we talked about joy versus happiness. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. You can be happy for any number of reasons, but once that reason goes away, what do you have left? So joy is what actually sustains us. Happiness is pretty much a reaction to our circumstances. And the tie-in there is that there's only one who can really give us everlasting joy, joy that's sure and steadfast, and that's Jesus. So we talked about joy versus happiness, and we talked about peace versus calm, and liking something versus loving something. So that was really the focus of my week with them. That's what I tried to instill in them, was that there's really only like one way that we can have joy, peace, and love in our lives. So that's our class. Some of the activities that we did in class were reverse Pictionary. So we basically gave them apples to apples cards and told them to illustrate what was on the card, and the rest of them had to guess what the phrase was. We also covered some of my famous warm-ups, choir warm-ups. So a lot of them would walk around saying, "Mamma mia, my mama walks father's mall. And Chester Cheetah chewed a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese." They loved that one. And so I had to wear my Chester Cheetah socks, which are probably somewhere in a picture, but I don't know where. I was able to use some of the techniques I have back here at home over there, which is really comforting for pretty much last-minute camp. Next slide. So something that was that kind of made me a little bit nervous was hand chimes. I pretty much avoided hand chimes and handbells my whole life because I thought they were for nerds. But I was tasked with leading it this year, and so I was kind of nervous about that because I had never picked one up before because I'm not a nerd. And so I had to be educated a little bit by Esther. She's the one who typically runs it, but this year she asked me to kind of like co-lead it with her. So went through one very short lesson with how to use a hand chime, and then she asked me to lead exercises. So I was like, okay. Pretty much just doing what I do here and doing it over there. So again, I think sometimes we can get discouraged by the fact that we think that we have to be some sort of super spiritual guru or have like deep biblical insights into the secrets of the universe and the mind of God before we can go over and serve God in a mission field, but you don't. You pretty much just have to go in faith in the fact that he has equipped you already for what he's called you to do. So he's given me the ability to teach music. I can't speak Slovak, but he gave me the resources that I needed to, you know, teach them the music. Interesting tidbit about the hand chimes. One of the hymns that we did was Holy, Holy, Holy. In Slovak, holy is naked. So me and Michael, we would just kind of go, holy, 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 just to each other in there and try not to get caught. So that was fun. A little downtime. You saw me playing patty cake with chair. I don't know. She was a very interesting character. She would make me escort her off to lunch, so she would not let me go after class without like cooking my arm. So she was a special one. Okay, next slide. So these are just I don't really have any insights about these. These are just kids being kids. So you know, they need the same gospel that we do. They're in need of the same Savior and need of the same support that we need here. And so I think it's encouraging to just see, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to think, have a mentality of an us versus them, when in reality we're all in need of a Savior. And so it was really just a blessing to kind of fulfill the call to go over there and share to share Jesus with these people. It's the biggest call of my life, but also my greatest joy that I get to, you know, proclaim the name of Jesus. So that was a huge blessing. And so, again, you just look at their faces and you see, like, I don't know, they're in the image of God. They're made in the image of God, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to share God with them. So, next slide. So the goal of the camp, it all pretty much culminates in a program at the end of the week, in which the parents from all the neighboring villages, friends, family, they gather, and they see the skits that we prepared as well as we do some worship. And then there's a world-famous goulash in Stola. It's not world-famous, but it's famous to me because it's really good. We pretty much just come together and show them what we've been working on. Again, God's timing is interesting. It did not rain the entire week, not 1 hour. And then the hour of the program, pouring rain. So that was interesting, having to share the gospel through wind and rain and playing ukulele when you're soaking wet on a stage in front of all these Slovak people, and they don't know what's going on, and you kind of don't know what's going on. So that was interesting. I think we're ready for the next one. So again, this is kind of like the closing program. Our skit for our class, you'll see that I have a random glow stick headdress on. Fun fact, the Slovak flag colors and the American flag colors are the same, so I was able to raid Walmart for their 4th of July stuff and get them little costumes. Our skit was about aliens and humans. So the humans land on this random planet, They didn't expect to find aliens. And they pretty much have to kind of see eye to eye, which is an idiom. So basically, they kind of misunderstand each other through a series of idioms and chaos ensues. So that was our skit. We did worship. We did skits. And we had goulash, as well as the hand chime concert, which was right underneath that tent. And the water was, like, starting to pull, you know, like water will kind of pull on tents and, like, cause big bubbles. And I was, like, really fighting the urge to just kind of, like, do that. But they're like, you know, do that. You'll get the bells wet. Anyway, I did it anyway. Next slide. Maybe next slide, potentially. Okay. So just back to kind of the reason over there was my kids, before I even, like, knew them, like, I knew I was going to have a class full of kids that needed to know Jesus and needed to hear something different than what the world has been telling them and, you know, see something different than what they're seeing now. Again, with the timing of things, war is right next to them. The boy in the first picture up in the top left, he wasn't one of my students. His name was Vlad. He's actually one of the refugees, and his family fled from Ukraine. They probably made it to Slovakia probably about March, and his family is living in the church. And you wouldn't know that he was a refugee just because he had this joy about him that just kind of, it didn't make sense, but it was just so heavy, his joy. He is probably only 8 years old, but he was able to communicate beautifully with us, with the translators, and was very persistent in figuring out, like, errors in communication if they did come up. So just, I think it's a beautiful testament to see what God is doing, even in dark times, that he's still at work. It was an encouragement to me and to everyone else on the team. So that's kind of his story. And then just the rest of my students, being able to connect with them. It's a humbling call and a beautiful call to be able to just share that kind of connection with people from across the world, people that you would never imagine, you know, having a conversation with and suddenly you're right there in front of them and you have the opportunity and the call to love them. And it was a huge blessing for me. So that was just kind of the testimony of, like, what God has done in my life. It was a huge encouragement to me to, especially after the past 2 years, see that God is still working. He's still moving. You might not see it in a 5-day span, but to know that, you know, 5 years later, you might see those fruits pop up. I guess one more thing is that the night that we got there to Stola, there was a party going on in the village, and there was a Slovak band, which was, it's one of those things that's almost kind of like a dream because it doesn't make sense that this Slovak band was doing Tina Turner covers in English. One of my students from 5 years ago was there, and he just kind of looked at me and was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, I'm here for the same reason I was last time. So just, it was an encouragement to me to see that God is still, again, you never know, like, 5 days turns into 5 years, and then you see them grow up, and it's amazing. So, again, thank you for, I guess, like, go to the last slide. That was pretty much was all the camp, all the kids and the translators together. So again, thank you for praying. For every word of encouragement that you guys have sent up, they were definitely answered. So, again, thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Great to hear how God worked and how he used you over there. So thank you very much. You know, we're from different countries, different cultures, different language, and yet we're all of the human race, all created in the image of God. We're the same more than we're different, and we all are sinners in need of Christ. Whether we're Americans, whether we're Slovakians, God loves us, God sent his son to die for us. And we need to take that message around the world. And so, Jordan, thank you for being part of that and going over there to share the gospel of Christ. Teens, you can head out. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you give Eddie a hard time. While they're leaving, let me just make one quick announcement. Don would like some help back by the kitchen to set up some tables and chairs for the anniversary party on Saturday for Carl and Joyce. So if you can help us just for a few minutes to set up some tables and chairs back in the by the kitchen, please just head back there when we're done, and Don will tell you exactly what to do. And she'll enjoy every minute of it. All right, let's conclude in prayer, and I guess Mark, you're...